Today's scripture reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtains, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of God.
All right, good morning, church. My name is Jackson, and yeah, I want to wish you a blessed National Day holidays, as well as our church 31st anniversary. Even as I begin today's sermon, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to give thanks to you for bringing us together, that here we can draw close to you, that here we can draw together in one another's fellowship and presence. We pray, O Lord, that even as we go through your word, it is your Holy Spirit that guides us, challenges us, and convicts us. We pray that you bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the world has changed drastically due to the COVID-19 pandemic, hasn't it? Back in early 2019 and before, who would have thought that such a modern world with brilliant scientific advancements and technologies would cause humankind to retreat back to solitude, cut away from society through worldwide lockdown of cities? When the world was supposed to be getting smaller with the advance of the internet and high-speed travels, our social life around the globe was supposed to become more vibrant. So the whole world was rudely shocked with the inevitable call of governments all around the world to de-socialize through city lockdowns. And here in Singapore, we recall our own circuit breaker in 2020. Looking back, it has been such an apprehensive and fearful times, hadn't it? It was a time when we were to shut indoors in the confines of our homes and each day standing by the television for the latest news updates and always looking out for our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong and his teacup, right? And then there was the steep learning curve to pick up new technologies such as online video chats like Zoom. Who ever heard of Zoom before COVID? And then there were live streaming of worship services. Now, there was a desire in us to draw close to one another socially, and even though we were not allowed to do so physically. Every time we step out, there was always the red shirt ambassadors, right, keeping an eye on us and say, mask up, right? Now, the constant fear and the dread of catching the virus back then was so unsettling. It drove us to certain depressive emotions and hopelessness. Now, to think, all these fears was just 2 years ago. Today, the safety management measures have eased, and we thank God that we are able to gather. Who would have thought that we would miss singing in church so much? Who would have thought that we would miss the opportunity to dine together and fellowship at a canteen after service? Who would have thought that today we will be able to celebrate our church's 31st anniversary physically and not via virtual calls to one another? Yet, as we turn our heads to look around, not everyone is back here yet. We have churchmates who have yet to return due to poor health or higher risk of viral contraction. We have friends who have yet to return due to the lethargy and restlessness of having stayed away for too long. We have fellow Christians who have yet to return as they still fear physical gatherings or fear the inconvenience of traveling down to church for corporal worship and fellowship. Now, for the Christians addressed in the book of Hebrews, they too had fear to come together for worship and fellowship before. Verse 25, in the passage that we just read in Hebrews chapter 10, it clearly tells us and implies to us that there were some who were in the habit of neglecting to meet together. But for these early Christians in the book of Hebrews, there were some reasons for them not meeting together. If we flip back a few chapters before Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says that some of them were not united in faith. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message you heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." And I underline some of these words for emphasis. They were not united by faith, even though they listened. In other words, they were weak in faith and did not fully draw close to believing in God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, it says that some of them did not enter into God's presence of rest because of disobedience and hardening of their hearts. Verse 6 says, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience." In other words, they have disobeyed God and hardened themselves into lives of sin. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, it says some of them have become dull of hearing God's commands. Verse 11 says, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." In other words, they have become restless and weary of following God and have begun to fall away due to their lack of Christian maturity. So these early Christians did not draw close to God and to one another due to their disbelief, their sin, and their restlessness of immaturity. But today's passage in Hebrews 10 tells us that we can overcome these very fears of disbelief, sin, and restlessness of immaturity. And let us look into the text that we just read. Number one, what do we have? We were actually given two assurances of reasons for why we can overcome any fears which may cause us to neglect drawing close to God and to one another. And these two assurances were given as reminders of what we already have in God. They were mentioned in verses 19 and verses 21. Verse 19 says, "We have the confidence to enter." And verse 21 says, "We have a great high priest." Let's look at the confidence to enter in verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." It says we have confidence to enter the holy places. Here the motif of the tabernacle or temple of God was illustrated. In the tabernacle or temple of God, only the high priest is allowed into the most sacred part of the temple, the Holy of Holies. And this Holy of Holies was separated from the rest of the temple by a curtain. And anyone else other than the high priest who entered through the curtain into the Holy of Holies would be struck dead, for it was a holy place. Now, should the high priest himself entertain evil thought while ministering within the Holy of Holies, he too will be struck dead. For holy is God, and the people were unable to draw close to God due to their sin. There was then that legit fear of death as they faced with a holy and just God who hated sin. And the only way that the people could atone their sin was through the sacrifice of animals, such as a lamb, which took upon the person's sin, and the sacrificed animal or lamb was punished with death on the person's behalf. But even then, this atoned person was still unable to enter the Holy of Holies, for that was only reserved for the high priest to minister within. For the sacrifice of animals was not sufficient to fully make a person truly sin-free, and they had to regularly sacrifice animals to keep atoning for their ongoing sinful life. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near." But all this were in the ancient days of the Hebrews in the Old Testament before the time of Jesus. And now, Hebrews 10 is telling us that in the New Testament times, after the time of Jesus, something has changed. Chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." So no longer do we need to ongoingly, continually sacrifice animals after animals to atone for our sins. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, it took away the sin of mankind once and for all. The blood of Jesus now fully atoned for a person's sin, and a person was able to enter into even the most holy place through the curtain into the Holy of Holies. And this has become a new and living way. And it reminds me of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that tells us also that, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." It is a new and living way, as I highlighted, a new covenant between God and man, a new way made possible by the blood and flesh of Jesus' sacrifice. No longer was there a need for any animals or humans to die in order to atone for sin. The new way is a living way. Our lives are now living sacrifices made holy in Jesus. You know, this idea just reminds me of an advertisement and a little cartoon that I skipped earlier. And I can't find the actual advertisement picture, okay? But this is another advertisement that's quite similar. It's about this ointment, the insect ointment called Mopico, right? I don't know if you remember that there was this advertisement that goes, the children were bitten by the mosquitoes, and then it was scratching, scratching, scratching. You know, there's an itch, right? And then you scratch, but you never go away. You scratch and it just soothes you for a few seconds, but later on the itch comes back and you must scratch again, and then it comes back and you need to scratch again until daddy and mommy comes and put some ointment on you, Mopico ointment, and then suddenly, wow, the pain just goes away for a long, long time. It's just like that, you know. And then there was the jingle of this Mopico advertisement, something about "谢谢 Whoopi Gao." You know, you've seen that advertisement before. Yeah, it just reminds me of that. It's like the sin that comes to me and I scratch it away with a sacrifice of animal, but it comes again and I need to sacrifice again, and it will just keep on coming back. You never fully atone away my life of sin until the Lord Jesus came and fully sacrificed himself, just like the magical ointment that removed the itch away for good. So this has become a new and living way. And we can confidently enter into God's presence, into the Holy of Holies. We need not fear to draw near to God due to our sin. We have the confidence to enter into His presence, confidence to draw close to God. Another example I can think of is like, you know, when I was dating and I have a girlfriend, right? So now if I go to visit my girlfriend's house, I have to knock on the door, say hi to her dad and mom, hello uncle, hello auntie, right? And they come in very meekly, you know, and then sit down, you know. But then I'm not allowed to just wander around the house, you know, freely. Like, I must give respect and everything. But wait, after I marry my girlfriend, who becomes my wife, things become different. Now my father-in-law comes and say, this is our house key. Feel free to come in anytime. Wow! Now I have the power, the authority to enter into the house freely as I wished. And also, it's not just because the power of the key, but I have a relationship with uncle now. He's no longer an uncle. He's my father-in-law. You know, so and now I can enter into his house freely and confidently. That is what we have through Jesus. He allowed us to come close to God with this wonderful relationship, and He empowers us now that we can enter through the Holy of Holies, through the curtains, into God's presence. And that is what we have. And the second thing that we have here is a great high priest. Verse 21 says, since we have a great priest over the house of God. Now, earlier I talked about the lamb, which was a sacrificial animal to atone for the sin of man. But the priest was the one who presided over the ceremony, who conducted the rituals, and went into the presence of God to mediate between God and man. And just as Jesus fulfilled the role of the sacrificial lamb once and for all, Jesus also now fulfill the ongoing role of mediation between God and man as our great high priest. So he's playing two roles here. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says this, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this Jesus is our great high priest, but he is also the Son of God. Imagine you have to, because of certain doings or deeds of your life that you have to stand in court, and you have a lawyer who comes to you and he pleads for you in court, and it so happened that the judge presiding over the proceedings in court is his father, and he knows about your case, and the father, the judge, knows about your case, and he knows what's going on, and the lawyer comes to tell you, says that, don't worry, my dad has spoken to me, we know the outcome, you will be acquitted. Imagine that. It's like the son is the Son of God. He's not just a great high priest, but this great high priest is Son of the Creator God, who sympathizes with us, who knows our weaknesses and fears, who has been through temptation but did not sin, and so knows and understands us in and out. What a privilege to have the Son of God Himself represent us, to be our high priest, to usher us into God's presence. And because we have these two I have statements here in Hebrews chapter 10, these two assurances, now we have the confidence to enter God's most holy presence. We have a great high priest. We can therefore overcome any fears which may cause us to neglect drawing closer to God and to one another. And now, because of what we have, this inspires us with what we can and what we should do. Following here, there are three exhortations, three actions the author of Hebrews recommended the church to take, using the words, let us. In verse 22, the author of Hebrews wrote, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So this verse 22 says that we can draw near to God. And earlier we learned that we have confidence to enter into the holy place, into God's holy presence. We have it. But now, let's do it. True, you know, we have this confidence to enter, but now let us draw close to God himself. Let us do it. Now, is it indeed true that God is holy and cannot stand sin? But because of Jesus, our sacrificial lamb, our great high priest, we now have our hearts made clean from evil, our bodies washed clean from sin, and our hearts are no longer seen as evil in God's eyes. But through the blood of our sacrificial lamb and the ongoing ministering of the great high priest, we have a true heart through our faith, through our repentance and belief in the name of Jesus. So brothers and sisters, let us draw near, draw close to God through Jesus. Now, the early Christians in the book of Hebrews might have fears of disbelief and fear and sin, but now they might draw close to God through Jesus. The next let us is to let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 23 says that we are to hold fast to the confession of hope in Christ. Now the world was changing. The world may be changing, as I said earlier. There are risks and dangers of COVID viruses. Now there's monkeypox viruses. Threats of war. There's already war with Russia versus Ukraine. The threat between NATO versus Russia. And then there's a threat of China versus Taiwan. And then there's a threat of US versus China. And all this is causing rising costs of inflation around the world. There's an instability of economics. And we hear about dissolution of governments such as those in Sri Lanka or Italy or Britain. But yet, through this all, we are told to let us hold fast to our confession of hope in Christ. Continually confessing that Christ is Lord, our sacrificial lamb, and our great high priest. And because what he has promised of eternal life in God's presence, to draw close and enter into God's holy presence, is faithful and true. So brothers and sisters, let us hold fast to confession and draw near, draw close to God through what Jesus has done. Now, as I said earlier, the early Christians in the book of Hebrews might have fears of restlessness, of immaturity. But now, as long as they hold fast to the confession of God's truth, they will grow in wisdom and maturity in Christ and draw close to God. So I mentioned that the early Christians in the book of Hebrews did not draw close to God and to one another due to their disbelief, their sin, and their restlessness of immaturity. And then I cited then all this evidence from Hebrews chapter 4 and 5. But today's passage here in Hebrews 10 tells us that we can overcome this very fear of disbelief, sin, and restlessness of immaturity by knowing what we have. And so then to draw near to God and hold fast to our confession. But there is one more exhortation, the third exhortation that the writer of Hebrews urged us to act upon. And that is, let us stir up one another. In verses 24 and 25, the writer wrote, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now these verses 24 and 35 say that we are to consider how to stir up one another, to love, to good works, not neglecting to meet together, to encourage as we see the day drawing near. Now earlier I mentioned that as we turn our heads to look around here in church, we will realize that not everyone is back in church yet with us. And I cited possibilities of poor health, higher risk of viral contraction, lethargy, and even restlessness, or fear of physical gatherings, and fear of inconvenience of traveling down to church for corporal worship and fellowship as some examples why they might not have returned to us. But first of all, the Bible passage clearly says not to neglect meeting together. So brothers and sisters, our gathering here for weekly worship services is right. But the gathering is not, we gather to worship God. But there is also another element besides worshiping God. We gather also to meet together in love, to do good works, and to have mutual encouragement. Unfortunately, a worship service like this by itself lack the element for us to chat in love and encouragement, right? Now it's just me speaking and you are just listening. And we are not able to do good deeds together because we are all just sitting there together, unless we say that sitting down is good deeds. And that is why, brothers and sisters, in addition to this worship service, worshiping God, the fellowship after this at the canteen is also very important. So I want to urge all of us, do not rush off after each church service. If possible, do not make appointments immediately after church services. Take some time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes if you can, to chat with someone at a canteen, catch up with somebody, to pray with someone at a canteen. Leaving immediately after church service is as good as neglecting to meet together, isn't it? Because you only come to worship. You did not meet anyone because there's no work of love or good deeds or mutual encouragement. Now, secondly, for those of us here who are faithfully each Sunday worshiping together and fellowshipping together, let us keep in the habit of doing so. We have done so for 31 years here. Let us continue to go for another 31 years or more. Good and faithful servants of Jesus Christ, may we continue to meet and see one another in worship and fellowship here in church anniversaries many years down the road. And the exhortation here is for us to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works and meeting together. It rests on us, therefore, those of us who are here, to keep up in the habit and consider, to think through, to brainstorm, to come up with ideas how we can stir up the rest in coming together. Now, if we don't do anything, nothing happens. It's like the surface of the water that lays still and calm. But to stir up the waters means to make the waters move, meaning to wake others up and get the rest of the church to move in meeting, loving, and good works. Consider, therefore, my brothers and sisters, how to reach out and urge our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to return to church. Perhaps to consider who they are and why they are not here. Perhaps to give them a phone call or text asking how they are. Perhaps telling them how their presence is missed here in our fellowship and we long to have them worshiping with us again. Perhaps to consider sharing with one another our reason, our personal reason for us to come to church week after week so that we can motivate one another. Perhaps to consider to visit those who haven't been coming and pray with them against their fear, their sin, their inconvenience. As I explained earlier, the world may be filled with risks and dangers of viruses and diseases, threats of war, rising costs of inflation, instability of economics, dissolution of governments. But we have our assurances in Christ to hold fast to our confession and to draw close to God and also to one another. In fact, the verse emphasizes that all the more as we see the day coming, the day of judgment coming. If you see that all this bad news is happening in the world, all the more we should meet. And of course, we abide by the governmental guidelines under the latest SMM, right? But since the government right now, at least in Singapore government, has allowed us to gather and meet, why are we not doing so? So we should continue to meet. There's the opportunity to meet, we will meet. And according to some biblical commentators, the early Christians here in the book of Hebrews, they faced persecution for their faith. Yet that did not hinder them from meeting together. Today we have the freedom to meet week after week with no persecution. Why should we say, let's not meet? Why should we neglect meeting together? We need to break down these feelings of restlessness or lethargy, our inconvenience or self-comfort, our denial of ourselves that, oh, worshiping and fellowship is so difficult because church is so far and we are so tired, etc. All these are denial. Because if you look around yourselves, we have brothers and sisters among us who, despite living far, far away in Jurong, they make their way here every week. And some brothers and sisters who are tired from long hours of work, they are sitting here worshiping the Lord. There are some brothers and sisters here who are beset with trouble of health or even old age, yet they are here worshiping and fellowshipping with us. For to all these brothers and sisters, the faithful ones, they know full well the assurances that they have in Christ, that they can and will draw close to God and to one another. So in summary, we today have no fear or sin or inconvenience which would or should hinder us from coming to church and meeting together. We have the assurances in Jesus to enter into God's presence confidently. Therefore, let us then draw close to God's presence confidently. Let us then hold fast to our hope and promise of Christ. And let us stir up one another in worship, fellowship, and service together. In closing, there is a song written of this passage, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. And I hope to sing it for us, being our anniversary today. We sang it before many years ago. But I hope that this song will just remind us the importance of us having the assurance of Jesus, draw close to God's presence, hold fast to our hope, and stir one another in worship, fellowship, and service together. I hope to minister to us through this song. This song is called One Step Closer. Apologies for that. In the presence of the King, by His holiness we sing. Through His new and living way, His new mercies every day. Jesus, draw us near to You. With sincere hearts before You, in full assurance of faith, Jesus, cleanse and wash us through. Love and gave, crucified, risen glorious to the skies. Sovereign King, Savior mine, cleanse our hearts we can't deny. Oh Lord, draw us nearer, deeper in Your presence, and in all that we do, we are taking one step closer to You, Lord. Sharing in love and good deeds, pushing onward as we meet, holding on His promises, in His hope as we profess. Love and give, crucify, risen glorious to the sky. Sovereign King, Savior mine, cleanse our hearts, we can't deny. Oh Lord, draw us nearer, deeper in Your presence, and in all that we do, we are taking one step closer. Love and give, crucify, risen glorious to the sky. Sovereign King, Savior mine, cleanse our hearts, we can't deny. Oh Lord, draw us nearer, deeper in Your presence, and in all that we do, we are taking one step closer to You, Lord. In closing, as we, let us respond to this sermon that we have heard by singing this song together. I'll invite the musicians to come on stage to play with me. Shall we all stand together as we sing this song together? Let's take it from the top. In the presence of the King.
In the presence of the King, by His holiness we sing. Through His new and living ways, His new mercies every day. Jesus, draw us near to You. Hearts before You, in full assurance of faith, Jesus, cleanse and wash us through. Chorus, and love and give, crucify, risen glorious to the sky. Sovereign King, Savior mine, cleanse our hearts, we can't deny. Oh Lord, draw us nearer, in Your presence, and in all that we do, we are taking one step closer to You, Lord.
Verse 3.
Sharing in love and good deeds, pushing onward as we meet, holding on His promises, in His hope as we profess. Love and give, crucify, risen glorious to the sky. Sovereign King, Savior mine, cleanse our hearts, we can't deny. Oh Lord, draw us nearer, deeper in Your presence, and in all that we do, we are taking one step closer. Love and give, crucify, risen glorious to the sky. Sovereign King, Savior mine, cleanse our hearts, we can't deny. Oh Lord, draw us nearer, deeper in Your presence, and in all that we do, we are taking one step closer to You, Lord.
And in all that we do,
and in all that we do, we are taking one step closer to You, Lord.
Come, let us pray together. Dear God, we give thanks to You, Lord, by what You have done, Lord Jesus, on the cross, that we have this assurance of faith to confidently enter into the Holy of Holies, to go through the curtains, to have the confidence to know that You, as our great High Priest, will usher us into the presence of God. We pray, therefore, God, that we will draw close to You, draw close to one another, and hold fast to our hope and promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, be individually or even as a whole body of Christ here, a community here in EMK, that for many more years of anniversary, we will continue to stir up one another in worship, in fellowship, and service together. May You bless us, O Lord. We thank You, God, for all these wonderful years of Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed anniversary.